My name is Gossip. I am a direct descendant of the father of lies. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious, and I gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. I make headlines and heartaches. Even my name hisses. I am called Gossip. Last week, we began looking at our second in the list of the seven deadly sins confronting the 21st century church. And because of the nature of gossip and the biblical material concerning it, I decided to break it into two messages. I didn't want to just skim it over, but to do it justice. And so last week we looked at what does God think of gossip and what is gossip? I was asked this week if in doing part two, I would give a bit of a review, a short recap of last week's message. And so just to begin with, we started with what does God think of gossip? Because as Christians, as believers, God's opinion should matter most. If we are created in the image and likeness of God and we are to be like God, then we should be seeking not only the will of God, but the attitude of God. We should have the same heart and mind as God has. And so whatever God's view of gossip is, that should be our view. The Bible says that we are to pursue God-likeness. Often we say Christ-likeness because Christ is much more manageable to our minds. Because God appeared in human flesh. And so since we can recognize what it is to be human, we can relate to Christ. But the Bible even transcends that and says that we are to be like God. And that is to be God in a moral, ethical sense, not the way some people with very poor theology say that we are to be gods. Some, for instance, in the extreme charismatic movement are saying to you that you are gods. The Mormon cult says that you are gods. Shirley MacLaine is famous for saying that she is a god. And yet the Bible says that there's an infinite gap between us and God. We are creatures created by the God, and yet we are to be like Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 2 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our character, that is, our thoughts, our passions, our actions, our will, must be a reflection of God's nature. We are to be image bearers. Matthew 5, verse 48, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Some translations kind of water that down and say something like, be mature. But the word should be translated perfect. D.A. Carson, talking about this passage, says that while we acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy before God, we are nevertheless to pursue the perfection of God. To admit that we are weak and frail and that we are sinners isn't an excuse for us not to pursue God-likeness. If God is without sin, that is to be the bar that we are to try to attain, the standard that we are to attain. We are never to have a cop-out and say, you know what, I can't do it, therefore I won't try. Impossible means I won't try. The Bible makes it very clear that gossip is sin and that it's abhorrent to God. Therefore, it should be abhorrent to us. In Romans 1, verses 29 to 31, it is listed alongside murder, maliciousness, haters of God, and other grievous sins. It continues on in verse 32 by saying, those who practice such things deserve to die. What's God's view of gossip? It's an abomination to the Creator. It's something that God finds absolutely abhorrent. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, the perverse stir up dissension. The gossip separate close friends. This is a poetic passage, and it's a type of poetry called synthetic parallelism. What it means is that the second line continues the thought and develops the thought of the first line. So the gossip is a type of perverse, perverted person in the eyes of God. Now, a pervert in the Bible is somebody who turns truth upside down, who calls good evil and evil good. It's somebody who purposefully sets out to do that which is wrong and justifies it. So the gossip is someone who is perverse in the eyes of God because they believe that what they are doing is right. They're calling evil good. And so when we gossip, we are performing a perverse act. Now, we wouldn't call it that because we water everything down, but the Word of God declares that it is perverse. And so let's call a spade a spade. Let's not water it down or beat around the bush or take an approach where we try to justify our sin, and let's call it for what it is. It is sin. And it is rebellion against God. The world hates the word sin because it pricks their conscience. If there is such thing as sin, if there is such thing as rebellion against God, then I am accountable for that. And people don't want that. People love their sin. Last week we defined gossip as bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. And that was taken from Matthew Mitchell's wonderful book, Resisting Gossip. Gossip is a sinful act, both in speech and in hearing. See, so often we limit gossip to just the words that are spoken. But when you listen to gossip, you are participating in that sin, and therefore under the umbrella, you are a gossip. Proverbs 17 in verse 4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. Wrongdoers, sinners, eagerly listen to gossip. Now, moving forward, we need to recognize that gossip is a problem. It is something that pervades our entire culture. It pervades the culture of the church. All of us, to one degree or another, at some point in time, gossip, whether it's saying the words or listening to the words. It's a plague that is infesting our culture. It's infesting the church. One writer said that it's a microbe. It's something that you can't see, but it's spreading everywhere. And it's contagious. Will Rogers, who was very famous for his little sayings, said this: the only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them. Isn't that true? So how do we approach the problem of gossip? Well, point number one, we need to recognize our innate waywardness. In other words, when they talk about these seven-step programs or how many steps you like, when people have an addiction or a problem, they say the first step is to recognize you have a problem. And so our first step is to recognize that all of us have a broken heart. All of us suffer from heart disease. And some of us, it's far more acute than others. But if we recognize that we have a problem with sin, not just gossip. When I began preparing for a series on seven deadly sins, the biggest problem was narrowing it down to seven. We need to recognize our innate waywardness. In other words, we are like a round object trying to go uphill. And when we stop struggling to go uphill, our nature wants us to go downward. There isn't a neutral gear in Christianity. We're either regressing in our walk or we're progressing in our walk. We're either becoming more like Christ or more like the devil. Brenda Payne, a certified Christian counselor, wrote, "Because of our fallen nature, our hearts are inclined to be busy in other people's business rather than our own. Gossipers talk in ways that do not build others up." Proverbs 17:4, which we just read, "Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip." In other words, there's something within our sinful nature, our flesh, that old nature that we still possess, that desires, that longs for gossip. Proverbs commentator R.N. Wibrey, I read this last week, says there is a flaw in human nature that assures slander will be listened to. When people gossip, there's a waiting and willing audience. There was a recent study that was done on secular magazines, kind of the filth that you'll find at the grocery store. And the studies were showing which magazines were moving forward in sales at the highest rate. And they found that the ones that were producing the most gossip, especially celebrity gossip, were the magazines that were growing in sales. People were asked, "Do you believe what you're reading?" And they said, "No, not at all. But we buy it because we want to read it." There's something within the human psyche that desires to hear the juicy details about other people's lives for one reason or another. Maybe it's to make ourselves feel better. There's probably some psychological reason here that we say, well, if I have some juicy news on something bad that's happened in someone else's life, then it elevates me. Which is completely contradictory to the scriptures, which says that you come last. We're always to build one another up, to edify one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, not to beat one another down. The oft-said quote, and I've shared it many times with you, is that Christians are the only ones that shoot their own wounded. Very little love in contemporary churches, except self-love, where the Bible calls for a slight degree almost of self-loathing. Secondly, we need to recognize the power of the tongue. It's interesting, in the Bible it talks about that there are seven things that God hates. And you know what? Three of them are related to the tongue. Over and over and over again we read in the scriptures about the sins of the tongue. Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The source of the tongue is the heart, the center of the will, the center of the emotions, the center of the intellect. Our mouth doesn't spontaneously speak, but it's out of the overflow of the heart. And so when we say bad things, when we gossip, that's because there's something wrong with our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 and other passages tell us that the heart is wicked. And we need to recognize this, that until we are face to face with God and He gives us an eternal glorified body where we are no longer able to sin anymore, as long as we're still in this body of death, we will have a strong, strong war battle with sin. Sin will continually desire unrelentingly to have its way in us. That's why we must always be on guard. We must always be ready. We must never take a break and think that the onslaught is coming to a low, because that's the time that the devil will attack. The tongue, according to Proverbs 18:21, has the power of life and death. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. The tongue has far more destructive power. Far more destructive power. It has the power of life and death. It's interesting. They always talk about kids, that how the things that they say to other kids. There was a commercial not that long ago where there is one adult putting down another, and the things that they're saying. And you're wondering, this person, you know, how can they tolerate such things? And yet then they spin it and say that this is how kids speak to kids. And yet that's just boys being boys or girls being girls. That's just part of growing up, the things that they say. When 3/4 of kids in Canada now, before they even graduate high school, 3/4 of them have contemplated suicide. And most of that is because of the things that other people are saying to them. There's a lack of self-esteem. The power of the tongue certainly has the power of life and death in it. It has the power of life and death in us, that we have the words of life available in the scriptures. And so we can share the words of life to people. But we can also be a stumbling block to other people. And the words that come out of our mouth can mean death to people, because we become a stumbling block to the cross of Christ. James 3:1-12 that we just read said that the tongue is a restless evil that no one can control. You know, we can tame all kinds of animals and things like that. You just go to the circus and you see, you know, lions and tigers and bears doing all these things. But the scripture says, James says that the tongue no one can control. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. In fact, it says its source is from the very pit of hell itself. See what large a forest fire starts with just a spark. People's lives have been destroyed from a single word. The tongue has the power of life and death. So number one, recognize our innate waywardness. Number two, recognize the power of the tongue. Number three, recognize gossip. We need to know what the enemy is. I've told you this before, but when the police are being trained to recognize counterfeit money, they don't give them all kinds of counterfeit money to learn. They give them the genuine article and say, know exactly what the real thing is like, what it feels like, what it smells like, you know, what it looks like. Look for all the distinguishing marks so that they can spot the counterfeit. We recognize gossip because we know what pure speech is. That's how we recognize gossip, is we know what words that elevate, words that encourage, words that build up are like. Words that don't defame others, words that aren't a stumbling block. We recognize what gossip is and we treat it as the dirty, rotten sin that it is. We need to recognize gossip and then we cut it off right away. When we get stricken with a severe disease, we don't wait until that disease overtakes us, but we jump all over that disease right away and deal with it before it gets out of control. The same thing with gossip or any other sin. We need to deal with it right away. And we need to deal with it in a biblical, godly manner. I think gossip would disappear in many ways if we all pursued God-likeness, Christ-likeness the way we ought. And we recognize how Christ conducted himself. I guarantee if you hung out with Jesus, you wouldn't even hear the slightest hint of gossip. There would be no doubt. In the Old Testament, it says where there is much speech, sin is present. Another way that gossip would be cut down is if we stop talking so much. We need to speak when necessary. Be slow to speak, James tells us. Number four, recognize the need for proactiveness. Don't wait until it's too late. But we all know what gossip is, so be proactive. Be looking out for it. Psalm 39 verse 1 says, this is the words of David, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth. That's good advice. That's good advice. David again in Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. J. Vernon McGee said, isn't it interesting? He said that your tongue was put in a cage. We need to keep the door shut more often. Because when we open the cage too much, it gives too much opportunity for it to escape. Listen to this one. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 to 37. These are the words of Jesus. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every word that you have ever uttered is recorded, and you will be held accountable for everything you said. In fact, if we get scriptures elsewhere, you will even be condemned for your motives and your attitudes and your thoughts. And so we need to recognize that a day of reckoning will come. We will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have to give an account for the stewardship of our lives. If we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we profess to be Christians, to be those who represent Christ in this world, we will have to give an account. Number five, recognize the need for grace. If you have been a gossiper, confess this as sin and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you. See, I don't think often people confess gossip as sin because, as one person said, let me back up a little bit. This person was giving an illustration. They were talking about a decade or two ago in sub-Saharan Africa where the AIDS epidemic was breaking out. And they were talking about how the Africans reacted to AIDS in that first decade and how it slowly transitioned into the next decade, where all of a sudden they became so used to AIDS that the fear factor was gone. They became almost comfortable with it. This is our lot in life. This is just the way things are. And it became an enemy that they were almost tolerant of and comfortable with. That was applied to gossip, where there are certain sins that in our modern culture we're so used to that we become comfortable with, and we don't have the disdain for them that we ought. Jerry Bridges has written a book called Respectable Sins. And in that book, he lists various sins that in our modern culture, we've become desensitized to. And we participate in them because they're so watered down that we don't see them the way they are. We don't see the danger. It's like a Trojan horse where we become deluded by not seeing the danger that's right before our eyes. And we need to see it as sin, and sin that needs to be confessed. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our trespasses, and the rest of it is wonderful, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God not only forgives, but if we come with a penitent heart before him, he will actually help us in overcoming that sin when we face it again. We need to repent of the sin of gossip by turning in a new direction and surrendering your tongue to Christ. Not only just say, God, I'm sorry, but make a resolution, not a New Year's resolution, but one you're actually planning on keeping, a resolution, a determination to turn, to repent, a 180-degree turn in your speech, and you will surrender your tongue to Christ. Well, it says that no one can tame the tongue, that's no human being, but God can tame the tongue. And so we need to pray that God would tame our tongue, that it would be surrendered to Christ, and that our tongues would be used only for good and not for evil. In one of the VeggieTale movies that our kids have watched, one of the characters, Junior Asparagus, he says that God only wants nice words. I like that. That's that simple childlike faith. Only nice words. If it's not nice, don't use it. If you can't say anything good or encouraging about others, then don't say anything. It's like your mom taught you. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Dr. Woodrow Kroll, from Back to the Bible, he writes this. Never criticize another person except to their own face with the intent to help. Criticism can never be constructive if expressed to anyone other than the person you are talking about. Do not listen to gossip. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says that we are to avoid such people. Sin has a contaminating factor to it. It spreads. You know, there's certain sicknesses that you can catch if you're near people, you share germs. Gossip's one of those. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, do not share in the sins of others. If we recognize that gossip is a sin, that it's contagious, then don't be a part of it, because you're sharing in the sin of another. And when you share in it, that becomes your own sin. Again, Woodrow Kroll says, don't kid yourself. It takes two to tango and it takes two to gossip. One to talk and one to listen. Gossip would stop instantly if everyone would stop listening. I like that. So true, so simple. Isn't it sad that common sense isn't very common? If you want to expunge gossip, stop listening. If all of us vow today to stop listening to gossip, then it will disappear. Woodrow Kroll says, just listening to gossip makes you an accomplice. Proverbs 26, verse 20 picks up this point. It says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, no gossip, quarreling ceases. If we don't listen, If we eliminate the gossip, then most of our problems disappear. Now, some concluding points. I'm going to quote Will Rogers again. I like this one. So live that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. If we live a life that we're not talking behind other people's backs, if we're not saying things that we shouldn't say, then if we had this family parrot, we wouldn't worry if other people heard the hidden conversations. J. Vernon McGee said it this way. How would you like it if even for one day somebody put a tape recorder on you? And then at the end of the day, everyone got to listen to everything you said. J. Vernon McGee, he was wise enough to say and admit, he said, I wouldn't want that. Gossip is evil. We can't water it down and express it any other way. It is evil. It is something that God abhors, and it's something that really comes from the devil, the father of lies. And so in 1 John, when it talks about that the things we do reflect what parentage you have, whether you belong to God or whether you belong to the devil, for Christians who gossip, it's as though we want one foot in the light and one into the darkness. We want to have it both ways. We don't want to let go of our sin. Sin is hypnotic. It has this allure to it that just draws us in. We're like the rats who have been brought under the effect of the Pied Piper's pipe. And we're dancing to the symphony of destruction. Our catch verse, our Bible memorization verse for the sin of gossip is Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So when you're gossiping, is it benefiting the hearer? Is it benefiting the one you're speaking about? If not, then you shouldn't be saying it. It's sin. Now, I'm going to give you something at the end, a little mnemonic to help you try to remember some things here. But note, write down Ephesians 4:29, and this is a passage that you should memorize. Write it down somewhere, stick it on your fridge, and remind yourself each and every day to not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When it comes to gossip, Brenda Payne writes, we must be fire extinguishers, not high winds that fan the flames. We extinguish gossip by refusing to listen. Some people will get offended, but let them get offended. We said last time, better to offend them than to offend God. Be a fire extinguisher, because being a fire extinguisher has everyone's best interests in mind. They're only going to be offended because you're pointing out their sin, and it's their conscience that's offended. The Bible tells us very clearly that a loving brother or sister in Christ that brings a corrective word to you is something that is taken in better than someone else saying it. So make sure that people know when you're rebuking them that it's out of love and care and concern, not out of some smugness whereby we're pointing out our spiritual superiority. We need to say, hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. You know, I struggle with that too, but it's very important that I cut you off right now because I don't need to hear what you're about to tell me. It doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit the person that you're speaking of, and it doesn't benefit you. And so why don't we just cut that off right now and let's praise God by avoiding sin. A godly minister was approached one day by his church members who wanted to repeat to him some of the wrongdoings of others. The pastor said, does anyone else know this but you? No, sir. Have you told it to anyone else? No. Then said the good man, go home and hide it away at the feet of Jesus. Never speak of it again unless God leads you to speak to the man himself. If the Lord wants to bring scandal upon his church, let him do it. But don't be the instrument to cause it. I share that illustration that somebody gave mostly because of that last clause. Don't be the instrument to cause it. We can be an instrument for God or an instrument for the devil. Let us always be a minister of the grace of God. Our tongues are an instrument, and how will they be used? Ephesians 4:29 says that the things that come out of our mouth need to be beneficial. They need to be beneficial. Now, let me just quote here a little helpful device. Think. T-H-I-N-K. Think. This was Alan Redpath, who was a famous pastor of about 50 years ago. He, in his church, they came up with this mnemonic device, this acronym, think, where each letter represents a phrase. And if we think before we speak, so that's your way to remember the word think, then it'll help us. T, is it true? And by that, it doesn't mean, do I think it's true? Do I know it's true? H, is it helpful? Is it benefiting others? I, is it inspiring? Does it encourage? Does it build up? Does it glorify God? N, is it necessary? Matthew Mitchell, in his book on resisting gossip, says, common sensely, nothing says we have to say anything at all. So is it necessary that we say this, that we share this? And probably 9 times out of 10, if not 99 out of 100, we don't need to say anything at all. But we just talk and we 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 talk. Well, we should be listening or meditating or being quiet. And K, is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? The antidote to gossip is Ephesians 4:29. That we make sure that we muzzle our mouths and we unmuzzle them when we need to do something beneficial. Now, let's just recap for a few seconds and then we'll be done. First priority in this discussion is to recognize what God thinks of gossip. And if we don't care what God thinks about gossip, then we have a bigger problem than gossip. We have a broken heart, a heart that is not right with God. We are probably dealing with somebody who is an unbeliever. But if you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that the Word of God is your authority, and God Almighty says that it is sin, that He says those who practice such things deserve to die, then our response to gossip and sins of the tongue in general is that we should have that same distaste, dissatisfaction with such things. It tells us that there's something wrong with us when we lust for gossip, when we long to hear it. That's why magazines like the National Enquirer and these things sell by the millions. Because we all have heart disease and we're fueling it. We're an addict. I shared last week about some of the neurological studies that are going right now dealing with addictions, such as pornography and drug abuse, in particular marijuana, and show that it actually is changing the biochemistry of the brain, where we're actually creating new receptors in our brain that are longing to be satisfied by those chemicals that are stimulated either by pornography or by the use of marijuana, and how it becomes actually a physical addiction. It's analogous in the concept of sin, in particular gossip, where there's something that happens in our soul, where our souls become reprogrammed, that we lust after these sins. And we need to recognize, as our passage last week talked about, where they're like chewy morsels, these delicious morsels that go into the depths of our belly. They penetrate to the lowest part of us, the most deep part, the central part of us, and it's hard to get it out. God hates gossip. We're to hate gossip. We need to recognize how damaging it is, not only to others, but to ourselves. And we need to deal with it adequately. And the first stage of dealing with it is repentance. Getting on our knees and praying for forgiveness and a change of heart. And that our tongues would be muzzled. Recognizing that we will have to give an account for every word that we are to share, that we share. We also need to recognize, finally, that only those words that are edifying, that build others up, that encourage others, that meet the needs of others, that benefit those who listen, are words that are come out of our mouths. Now, that doesn't mean that there's never a word of rebuke. Scripture tells us that at times we're to rebuke people. But even that is done according to their needs. And it's to their face. If we can't say something out of a pure motive, out of a kind heart to the person's face, then those words should not, must not be spoken. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If we use those words of what we speak, gossip will be greatly limited. And if we choose not to listen to gossip, then gossip would be all but destroyed. Let us reflect the image of our Creator, our Savior, our God, and be like Him. Is that not the desire of His people, to be like God? I like the saying that, I've heard it from lots of people. I heard it from my dad lots of times growing up. The concept of not asking you to do something that they wouldn't do. God doesn't ask us to do anything that He doesn't already do. 1 Corinthians tells us that when sin comes before us, temptation comes before us, God will always give us a way of escape. There is no sin that is impossible for us to deal with. We choose to sin. And we have a choice every time we open our mouths, whether what comes out of it would be for good or for evil. Pray that God would watch over our mouths, as David said, that He would guard our mouths and that He would guard our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if we have not love, we're nothing but a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. We are nothing. And it's out of a heart that lacks love that gossip comes. Let us love. Let us be like Christ. Let us be like God. And let us purpose within ourselves to resist evil. And to do that which pleases God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sing, "Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be likely," and many other songs and choruses that are supposedly cries of our heart to be like Christ. And yet, Lord, it's like so many people that have this wishful thinking within them, but are never willing to do that what it takes to bring it about. Lord, may we not just profess with our lips, "Oh, to be like Thee," but may we make a conscious, wholehearted decision, drawing a line in the sand that, Lord, we would pursue You, that we would pursue God, that we would pursue Christ-likeness, that we would long to be like You, that we would long to please You and to bear that image to this world in a way that doesn't defame the cross or is a stumbling block to the cross. But as people see us, they would see a radical transformation that only the supernatural can explain. Lord, may we never hurt others, but may we always be those that love and come alongside and edify. Lord, the tongue is a restless evil that no man can control, but You can. And so may we surrender to You And Lord, may we give our tongues over to you, that they would be used as instruments of grace in your hands to this world. May we be those that are fire extinguishers. Lord, may we be blessed by you and encouraged by you and empowered by you, that this world might see Christ in us. Lord, may we be those that are surrendered and those that are least, so that you may be exalted. Less of me and more of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.